But last time we did basically the why behind the Harp and Bowl model. Today we're doing the what. What does it exactly look like? You know, how does that actually all come together? Worship and intercession, how do they all flow together? And I knew that some of you actually don't have this yellow manual, and so I went ahead. Thank you so much, Shamik. I went ahead and put up a PowerPoint for it. So, yeah, go ahead and hand those out. Thank you. Let's see here. Get it up here. So, yeah, they're handing out apostolic prayers. I'm going to explain those here in a second. But basically, those are, it's a fancy word, apostolic prayers. It's a fancy word for the prayers that the apostles prayed. We could just as simply put on the top of the sheet the prayers. The prayers that the apostles prayed. You know, you could just make it that simple if apostolic prayers kind of sound strange to you. But you guys are mostly all charismatic, so not worried about it. Charismaniacs, as I said yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we go. I think I'm almost loaded up here. Yeah. Amen. Well, what I'm going to talk to you tonight about is the primary governing principle of the Harp and Bowl model. Don't you like Mike Bickley? He uses really big words. Basically, it just means it's the main idea of the Harp and Bowl model. And it's the main thing that we, basically just the overriding principle of the whole Harp and Bowl model, the thing that the centerpiece of the Harp and Bowl model. And it is developing a passage by antiphonal singing or praying. The reason why we have singing and praying there is it depends upon if you're a singer or if you're someone that's praying as to what you'll be doing. So the principles that we're applying could apply to a singer, or it could apply to someone who's praying. So yeah. And this one primary governing principle expresses three values. The first one is team ministry. We talked yesterday about the 16 values, and I want you to understand that what I'm about to share with you is the expression of those 16 values. So you see, the 16 values are what governs all of what we do at the International House of Prayer. And so what you're about to see is how it gets put forth in the prayer room. This is the day in and the day out. This is how we do it. This is how these 16 values get expressed. But specifically, three values that it has is team ministry, inclusiveness, and the centrality of the scripture. On the team ministry, we go much further when we go together, okay? I can only go so far if I'm up here on a keyboard all by myself. And bless the Lord, there are times for that, and there's moments where that's really anointed. But if I have Shamik over here on the drums and he's building it, oh my goodness. I mean, we're all feeling that emotion together. We got, you know, Jeff back there on the bass, he's playing. We got the singers singing along strongly. Oh my goodness. I mean, there's just a crescendo that happens in that place. So we want team ministry. And to do that, we have to have some structure in place so that we can all work together. The second one is inclusiveness. Everyone can participate. Mike calls the Lord the God of the big target. In other words, everyone can do this stuff. And what I'm about to share with you, it might seem overwhelming at first, but really the idea behind it is that it's simple. And it's so simple that anyone can do it. Even, we have children doing Harp and Bowl at the International House of Prayer. We really do. We have kids, Harp and Bowl teams, and they're doing what I'm about to tell you. We have singers, we have musicians, and then we have people praying. I've seen them, and I hope one day to even be a part of them, training them, because it's so amazing. But anyway, so my point is it's really simple. It might seem a little overwhelming as we're going through it. But once we get up here and we do it, a lot of the pieces will come together. Third one is the centrality of Scripture. We want God's language that unifies the hearts of the people, one with God's heart. So God's language is found. Where's God's language found? In the Bible. That's right. It's found in the Bible. So it unifies our hearts together because we all agree that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Everyone in this room, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, then you believe that the Bible is the centerpiece of God's word. So this value is massive. And then also it unifies our heart with God. And we, my goodness, we want to be unified with God. We're going to go through here our worship cycles. There it goes. Our worship cycles are broken up into three stages. The first one is corporate worship songs. We want everyone to engage in God's presence together in one accord. We value songs specifically in this time that direct us to sing to God instead of about God. So, this is not a hard, fast rule. It's just something in general we aim for, you know, that, I don't know, 80, 90% of our songs are actually singing to God. There's something that happens to the human heart when we actually talk to God in worship. We can sing about God. I love the song, How Great Is Our God. That's really good. We're declaring who he is. But there's something about those songs when you actually are singing directly to God. It does something to your heart. And not that I'm, I love that. Anyway, spontaneous singing, number two, is the second stage. In our spontaneous singing, all the singers will sing together as well as the entire room. And this is a time for devotional singing to the Lord, both in the spirit and from the word. So we're singing in our prayer language to the Lord. We're edifying our spirit. Well, like we talked about, that was a harp and bowl value number three, is that we value spontaneous singing because that's how our hearts get in a flow. So I talked about that a whole lot yesterday. If you weren't here, get the DVD or the CD. We do this. That's the second part, the second stage of the worship cycle. And then third, we develop a passage by antiphonal praying or singing. And so I'm going to break these down a little bit here. Developing a passage by antiphonal praying or singing. I'm going to develop actually just that portion of it here. It's broken down into four parts. Can y'all read that? Good, good. The first part is praying, singing through a biblical sentence. I'm going to focus on intercession tonight. We have four prayer formats, and I'm not really even going to focus on this tonight in the harp and bowl model. The first one is intercession. If you want to write it down, you can. I forgot to tell you, we're on page 16 of the harp and bowl model if you want to be following along with us. Sorry about that. We have intercession. We have worship with the word. Then we have a devotional format, and we have prophetic worship. So again, I'm not going to break those down, but I will hopefully on a future trip go further into detail. I'm going to focus on the intercession format tonight. So praying or singing, depending upon which format you're in, but praying through a biblical sentence. Number two, isolating a phrase. The prayer leader designates one phrase by speaking it out from the biblical sentence that the prophetic singers develop, okay? For instance, you all have your apostolic prayer sheet. Let's go to one of the apostolic prayers there. Can someone give me one of those sheets? Thanks. I'll get lost if I try to find it in the book. I did a while ago. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 is the first prayer there. One of my favorites. These are not the only prayers that we pray at the house of prayer, but these are the ones we home in on. These are the key apostolic prayers. There's actually a front and a back. They missed copying the back, but that's okay. These ones are really good that are on the front, so it'll work. But anyway, for instance, here we would begin by praying through the biblical sentence. we would say, that the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his power. So the person that's praying, they just simply read the passage. That's how they begin. They just simply read the verse from the Bible. Okay, then the second part is isolating a phrase. The prayer leader, the person who's praying, designates one phrase by speaking it out from the biblical sentence that the prophetic singers may home in on that phrase. So, for instance, I'm here, and I would say the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There's a phrase you could isolate there. You would isolate that phrase, and then that way the singers know what you want to focus on, what part of the prayer you want to focus on. Because if you just prayed that prayer, you prayed that entire prayer, the singers are like, what part of the prayer do you want us to sing about? And so they just end up singing about a whole bunch of things when you actually might have something that's really burning in your heart. You know, I get up sometimes on that prayer mic in the night watch, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I really want to know what is the hope of your calling. That's further down in the prayer. And so I'll get up there and I will isolate that phrase, and then the singers know what I want to pray about. So I end my prayer with that by isolating that part of the prayer, and then the singers will sing around it. So it's really awesome. Number three, developing three themes through antiphonal praying or singing. The singers develop themes from the isolated phrases by singing short 5 to 10 second songs to enhance the theme of the isolated phrase. So once that person isolates the spirit of wisdom and revelation, now it'll go to the singers, and the singers will begin to sing around that phrase with short 5 to 10 second songs. Does it say antiphonal? Yeah, antiphonal songs. What the word antiphonal means is simply responsive. It's a big word, I know, but it just means responsive singing. So I'm here praying, okay, and then the singers are antiphonally singing. They're responding to what I'm praying, and we've noticed that this isn't just kind of coming out of nowhere. That's actually the way it's happening in the Word of God. And I kind of went through that some last night with that Revelation chapter 5. You know, we got the different groups of people responding to one another. So anyway, and you get a lot of energy. It's really awesome. Spontaneous choruses is number four. The chorus leader and our worship leader, either the chorus leader or the worship leader, can establish spontaneous choruses for everyone to sing together. And it's so awesome, you guys. I think number four is probably my favorite part of these four parts, because when I'm up there praying my burden, you know, I really have something on my heart, and then all of a sudden the chorus leader sings a chorus off of what I'm praying. Now I'm like, oh my goodness, I just had something on my little peewee heart, you know, just praying to God. Now there's like 100 people in the room, and they're praying my burden, and it makes me so happy, you know. It just kind of makes me smile. I'm like, hey, this is really cool. And so it's just a way the choruses allow the entire room to come together into one theme, one direction. We're all going in the same direction. We're all praying together, and it's really enjoyable. You know, we talked about enjoyable prayer. It's not as enjoyable to sit and hear someone yell for you know, 2 hours. It's more enjoyable that we sing and we lift our voices to God, even though, hey, I've enjoyed my times of yelling sometimes too. Stage number one, I'm going to break this down, those four stages now. I'm going to kind of go into each of those four stages a little bit deeper. Stage one, so this is the first thing we're doing in a worship cycle. A worship cycle is those four things that I said: the corporate worship songs, the spontaneous singing, the developing a passage through antiphonal singing. Or three things. It used to be four things. Sorry. Stage number one is corporate worship songs. Generally, we choose songs that direct us to sing to God, not only about God. So I already kind of talked about that, just that value that we really want people actually singing to God. And even in our choruses, we want people talking to Jesus. We want people talking to the man who's on the throne, who's beautiful, who's waiting to hear our voices. So I encourage you, worship leaders especially, pick songs that are talking about, talking to God. And honestly, my favorite is songs that are talking to God about God. You know, there's times where we sing to God about ourselves and, but man, something happens when you start singing to God about God. It's really good. Okay. Point number two here. I was talking to you guys about this last night. The harp and bowl model is a communication tool. That's all. It's just simply a way we communicate with one another. Therefore, all musical styles will work with the harp and bowl model. Isn't that cool? So you can do country music with the harp and bowl model. You really can. And I really want to see someone do that, because I've been saying that for years, and honestly, I hadn't seen anyone do it. Clay Edwards, the guy I was telling you about, he comes close, but he'll do it from time to time, but not like full-on country. You know, I'd like to see some, you know, mountain guys, you know, getting up there doing some harp and bowl. It'd be great. But all right. I mean, you can do R&B, you can do rap, I suppose. Someone needs to figure out how these principles would apply to it. Rap, I don't know. You can do all sorts of things. I mean, my goodness, the creativity is endless. And we have a specific style, it seems like, at IHOP, but you don't have to do that style. And Mike is very adamant about that. You don't have to do the style that we're doing at the House of Prayer. We want different expressions of it. These are just the harp and bowl model is just simply a way we communicate with one another. And that's the point of it. Number three, select worship songs that the majority of the people present are familiar with. I was like, oh no, what am I going to do when I get to this point? Because I totally broke the rules tonight, didn't I? I don't think probably any of y'all knew the songs we did tonight. But anyway, this is what we want to do. We really want to do this because Mike says only introduce one worship song, one new worship song a set. And it's just really important because we want people to singing. We don't want people watching us while we're up there. And that also entails choosing simple worship songs. There's some worship songs you really couldn't do corporately, you know. Number four, maintain a dominant melody line. The goal is to have people sing with you, not just listen to you. We want a dominant melody line. So that means we don't necessarily want people doing all sorts of embellishments to the determinant of the melody line. We want that melody line to be really, really strong, because you have to keep in mind, us musicians and singers, we have to keep in mind that, okay, for us, we know where the melody line is. We know how the song is supposed to go. But there's people in the congregation who are not gifted singers, and so they can't do that. You know, they can't find the melody line in the midst of all this embellishment and other things that are going on. So we want to keep the melody line super, super, super strong. For a while in the Night Watch, we actually only sang melody. I know that might seem like, but for a while, we actually, our leader actually had us only sing the melody line and not to do any harmony. So that might be something you want to do for a while. I don't know. But it definitely helped us for the season that we were in. So stage number two is the spontaneous singing. This is done with a devotional focus. I kind of already talked about that. We sing from the scripture and with our spirits. And oh my goodness, just take a passage. I can't say it enough. Just take a passage and lock in with it for 2 or 3 months and just sing it over and over and over again. And I promise you, your heart will get in a flow with that scripture. But this is the second thing we do in a worship cycle. First thing we do is corporate worship songs. Stage number two is spontaneous singing. We do it every single time. Every single cycle, we do spontaneous singing. It's just a big value to us. The goal is to so that, I think I mistyped there. The goal is that the whole room sings with us, engaging with God. Thus, it is important to have simple and basic chord progressions. So you want something really, 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 really dumb, simple, okay? So musicians, this is not the time. Spontaneous singing is not the time to try out, your new chord progression that you've been wanting to try out for months, you know, that has all the borrowed chords in it and all that. Musicians, you want to keep it really, 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 really simple. So again, so that our non-gifted singers can soar with us, so that they're not in the congregation going, boy, I wish I could join in, but I have no clue what to sing here, you know? We want to keep it real simple for the singers. We also want to sing in an easy vocal range, so we don't want to go too high or too low. We want to just sing in that middle range so that people, again, the non-gifted musicians, will have an easy on-ramp to be able to sing. We just want to do everything that we can to help everyone sing the word and sing in their spirit. The singers should sing strongly. This is an important point. Should sing strongly the whole time to help lead the room. So we want our singers who are up here, the four prophetic singers, or however many you have, you don't have to have four, you want them singing the entire time. You want everyone with a microphone, really. Everyone who has a microphone, they need to be singing strong the whole time. Because I've noticed one thing in the prayer room, if we have maybe like two people singing, the people in the room, they don't feel as comfortable singing, you know, because they just kind of feel, you know, they're like, oh, I don't really sing that good. And so they don't really sing. But if everyone on the platform is singing, then they're like, okay, well, no one can hear me anyway, so I'll just go for it, you know? You can tell Mike Bickle wrote this. I mean, I don't mean to speak against my leaders, but the man is tone deaf. Mike Bickle, I mean, he's bad. And he admits it, so, you know. We used to be in the prayer room in the trailers, and I would be pacing beside him, and Mike would be like, "Shoo do 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 do," and I'd be like, "My goodness!" And he sings really loud. No, no, he's great. He's been doing it for years. See, Mike's a perfect example. Mike has been singing the word for years. For years, since 83, I think, he's just been singing the word and singing the word and singing the word for years and years and years. And he can't sing, you know, he sings not very good. So anyway, you don't have to be a good singer to do this. You really don't. Stage number three is developing a passage by antiphonal praying. The intercessor selects a prayer or prophetic promise from the scriptures. And I was talking to you about that yesterday. We don't just want to take any scripture. We want to find the prayers that are in the Bible. We want to find the actual prayers to God in the Bible. We don't want to just get up there and grab a scripture, though I suppose that's better maybe than just, you know, just kind of praying from, you know, just going for it. But really, if you find the prayers that are in the scriptures, you will enter into a Holy Spirit-inspired a plethora of amazing things. I mean, Holy Spirit inspired every single prayer that's in the Bible, right? We believe that, right? We believe that the entire scripture is God-breathed. So these prayers are a gift to us as an intercessory movement that God's raising up in the earth. We actually have prayers in the Bible. There's 25 or 30 of them in the New Testament alone. Yeah, so you just have to find them. Mike's done a lot of the work for us here. This is a bunch of them, but I encourage you, just go on a search. I've endeavored to do that. I have a little highlighting system in my Bible. Every time I find a prayer, I got a particular color that I highlighted in the Bible, so that way I can find them when I need them. And I'm just praying all sorts of prayers. Daniel 9 is one of them. John 17 is the prayer of Jesus. I mean, oh, they've just been so edifying. But the New Testament apostolic prayers are the foundational prayers used at IHOP. The prayers here on the sheet, they're the foundational prayers that we use at the International House of Prayer. Continuing on with stage number three, developing a passage by antiphonal praying. There's four parts to what we do when we get to this part. Number one, we pray through a biblical sentence. And I kind of went through that. We start out by reading the passage, right? That the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and so on. We read the entire passage. And Mike has the example, for example, Ephesians 3. That's the one right below it that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Then we pray around the passage for 1 to 3 minutes. So for instance, let's do Ephesians 3 just for the sake of variety. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I would read the entire passage. And then I would begin to just pray off of that passage. Like, let's just say I was praying for Clarksburg. I would just begin to pray, Father, I ask you that you would come to Clarksburg, that you would come to believers in the church of Clarksburg, that you would strengthen them with might. Father, that you would send your spirit deep inside of the inner man, a people, God, that all over the church, Lord, you would even dwell in their hearts, God, that you would just come to the church of Clarksburg, that they would be rooted, they would be grounded deep, deep, deep in the love of Christ. And you just kind of pray around the passage, and you know, you just kind of flow for one or two, three minutes. That's no hard and fast rule on that, but 1 or 2 minutes, you just pray through that prayer. And then number two, you isolate a phrase. And again, this is how you communicate to the singers what your prayer burden is. If you don't do this, if you don't isolate a phrase, they don't really know what you want to home in on. Because if you pray for 1 or 2 to 3 minutes, you've put out a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I just prayed for 1 minute, and could any of you tell me what all the themes I just hit? I mean, God heard it all, and God was totally with me, but the singers are there. They need an easy on-ramp to be able to come with you. So you need to sum up what you've just prayed. And the way you do that is you find a phrase in this prayer, like, say, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. You see that underline there? Mike made it really easy. He underlined a lot of the really good ones. They're not the only ones in the prayer, but those are the best ones for sure, the easiest ones, I should say. Strengthened with might. So I would say, Lord, strengthen your people with might in the name of Jesus. And the intercessor designates that one phrase, 5 to 10 words, so it needs to be really short. Again, you don't want it to be too long, because then they're like, where are they at? In fact, I find some of the best ones are like 3 words long. You know, you just get it real simple so that those guys can just flow and you can go in a awesome direction from the passage for the singers to sing around. And with the isolated phrase, you say in the name of Jesus at the very end to communicate to the singers that you now want them to sing. So when I say, Lord, strengthen your people with might in the name of Jesus. When I say in the name of Jesus, the singers know, okay, that is an isolated phrase. So singers, when you hear in the name of Jesus, you know, okay, now I can sing. Now is my time to go for it and to let those prophetic songs go forth. And intercessors, that's the way you communicate, okay, now I want the singers to sing. And they won't sing until you isolate that phrase. And then say in the name of Jesus. It's just, again, these are just communication tools. These are ways we all go together. Number three, develop the phrase through antiphonal singing. The prophetic singers and intercessors, okay, let me show you where we're at. Okay, the intercessor has isolated the phrase, right? They say, strengthen your church with might in the name of Jesus. Okay, now it's time for the singers, okay? It's the singers' turn. The singers are going to sing now. And the prophetic singers and intercessors develop the isolated phrase by bringing out the meaning. So they're seeking to go deep into that passage. They're seeking to mine that passage and then lead the room in that prayer. There's three ways that the singers can develop a theme antiphonally. It's really simple. The first one is echo the phrase back with the exact same language. So singers, it's really simple. If I say, strengthen with might through your spirit in the inner man, you know, let's say I isolated that phrase. Well, what you would simply sing is, Lord, strengthen them with might. Okay? That's really simple, right? Okay, I've just isolated that phrase, strengthen them with might. And so now it's really simple for the singers. All they have to do now is sing, strengthen them with might, okay? And you can do that 1, 2, or 3 times. I mean, really, there's no limit, you know. Strengthen them with might. You know, you can just get creative with it. You know, just kind of go for it. And echoing is awesome, okay? Number two, you can paraphrase the phrase, okay? I have here an example that I put was, release your power to our inner man. Okay? Release your power to our inner man. See how I've developed that phrase? I had strengthened with might through your spirit in the inner man. I took it, I just kind of tweaked the words around a little bit. I didn't really change what was said so much. I just said, release your power to our inner man. You know? I just kind of changed the words around, put some different words here and there. Okay, then number three is where we actually begin to develop the passage. We begin to mine that passage and go deep into it. I have here, impart grace to cause our heart to flow in love and holiness. You know, that's kind of, I don't know, that would be a long phrase to sing, you know. But, you know, you're developing it. You're developing it. You're actually going deep into that passage. And so you have those three options, singers. You can echo the phrase, you can paraphrase it, or you can actually begin to develop it. And you want to always be pulling from other scriptures. I mean, you can, when in kind of my younger days of just getting started, I'd always have my Bible up there with me, and I'd be cross-referencing, which you have to be careful with cross-referencing, because, you know, sometimes you get a scripture that really has nothing to do with it. And I'm sure I probably sang plenty of scriptures that had absolutely nothing to do with what we were singing. But it's a good way to at least broaden your understanding of scripture. Can you see now why, as I'm going through this, can you begin to see now why our prophetic singers are some of our deepest people in the Word? You see now how it requires, it pulls you to go deep into the Word. Because if you get up there and you're like, they isolate, Lord, strengthen them with might in the name of Jesus. Strengthen them with might. Strengthen them with might, you know. You just say strengthen them with might, and by the fifth time you're going, I don't know the word. I was feeling that the other day. Actually, I was feeling that as an intercessor the other day, because we have some singers on the night watch who have been there since the beginning. They've been there for 8 years, you know, doing it. And they were on this theme of the Bible, something to do with Israel and Hosea and the Lord drawing the people. And I'm like, I don't have a clue what they're talking about. And you know what it did in me? It went, oh my goodness, I need to study Hosea. I don't know the word, you know. I don't know the word. And so that's what this thing does. It makes our singers get into the word. And again, actually, I was that feeling that as an intercessor. It does it both ways. It really does. Because if the singers are going deep in the word, you begin to challenge each other. Because I actually remember when I first got to IHOP, and everyone was praying Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, and I was just a young buck. And I was like, I'm going to kind of tweak it a little bit. I'm going to start praying Acts 4 for signs and wonders. So I started doing that, and the singers would be like a little, you know, confused at first. They're like, oh, we're not used to this. And it challenged them. I know it challenged them as me and many others began to pray Acts 4 for signs and wonders. The culture began to change, and the people praying began to challenge the prophetic singers. But it goes both ways. The prophetic singers can be up here singing from the word, and they begin to challenge the intercessors. So it's really fun. It's like a holy little competition, I guess. Let me continue with this, developing the phrase through antiphonal singing. So again, this is specifically for the singers, those that are singing. Once that phrase is isolated, we want the singers to sing short songs of 3 to 5 seconds. We want our singers to stay on the same theme. So if I say strengthen them with might, that's not really the best time to be like, Lord, release signs and wonders. You know, that's happened to me before. You know, I'm like, Lord, strengthen them with might. And then the prophetic singer's like, Lord, release signs and wonders. You know, I'm like, strengthen them with might, Father. You know, they're like on a, you know, and that's why prophetic singers, it's really hard. You have to like really pay attention. It's actually very difficult. We want to sing one at a time. If everyone's singing at the same time, it's just a big cacophony, and no one knows what anyone's doing. I mean, it's just like it's crazy. It's craziness. The third principle we have here is sing loudly or not at all. And I know that's kind of hard, especially for new singers, because when you first get on the mic, you know, you're just really timid and you're really scared. Actually, I wasn't, but that's my personality. But most singers, Mike says most singers are it takes them two months. So don't feel bad if at first you're not, you know, going for it. It takes them 2 months before they really start going for it. But anyway, you want to sing loudly or not at all. The third thing is the order of the singers. If two singers begin singing at the same time, then they will yield in this order. And this just helps. Again, this is another communication tool. I know this seems like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff here. This is a way we communicate with each other. The first one would be the worship leader, or guitar, if they're leading from guitar. The first one would be the worship leader. Second would be the prophetic singer number one. And I know this is different than what's printed in your harp and bowl syllabus, but like I said, we constantly are changing the harp and bowl model. So this is actually what it is now at IHOP anyway. You can do whatever you want, but fourth would be prophetic singer number three, then singers on instruments, and then the prayer leader is actually last. And the reason why we do that is it just really makes it easier to be able to communicate with one another. So if let's say singer number two, they're over here, they're singing. They're singing away, you know, they're going for it. But singer number three, they get the burden to sing at the same time. And so they both, I can't really do this because I can't sing at the same time, but let's just say I could. Strengthen them with might. Okay, they both ran into each other. They started exactly at the same time. No one could say who, you know, started to begin with. Well, singer number three, they take the low road and they stop and they let singer number two sing. And that just helps everybody. It helps everybody out. And anyway, I think I was in the wrong order. That would have been four. But anyway, y'all know what I'm saying. So there we go. Let me go here to the next one here. Spontaneous choruses. Oh, here we go. Spontaneous choruses, again, I have to say, this is what I've seen be the most effective in prayer meetings. If you don't come away with anything tonight, come away with spontaneous choruses. They are massive in their power in leading corporate intercession. Even Lou Engle at the Call, they've kind of adapted a little bit of the harp and bowl model. They begin to do the antiphonal choruses, and it makes your engagement in the room go up massively. You know, people are just praying and praying and praying. When that chorus goes up, all of a sudden the entire room is singing it with their mouths. And again, what happens with your mouth will affect your will and your mind. Okay, that's a principle. What you say with your mouth will affect your will and your mind. If you're in a funk one night, if you say, I love Jesus, okay, it forces your will to say, it changes your emotional chemistry, changes your heart. So anyway, okay, on the spontaneous choruses, only the chorus leader and worship leader can establish spontaneous choruses for all to sing. So even though singer number three, they might have a really good chorus, well, we want to give responsibility primarily to the chorus leader and the worship leader to begin the choruses, okay? And they can establish a chorus at any time because, again, the effectiveness of a chorus, you want to just be popping those out there because they're so effective. So you can do it at any time. You probably wouldn't want to do it when the intercessor first gets up there and, you know, starts their prayer. That might be kind of rude. But anyway, but you can do it any time. Number two, if a prophetic singer wishes to offer a chorus, they can do so by singing it twice. So let's say, okay, singer number three here. They really have something burning in their heart, you know, and they want everyone to sing it, okay? They really feel like they got that burden from the Lord. So all they have to do is sing through it twice. And if the chorus leader here, if the chorus leader picks it up, or the worship leader, if they start singing with them, then they can keep singing that chorus. Otherwise, again, they take the low road and they stop singing it. And again, that way there's leadership and there's government. And also, typically you want your most experienced singers basically in order on the microphones, but particularly your chorus leader. You want your most experienced singer to be your chorus leader. And then that way they're training and they're teaching the other prophetic singers, you know, the singer two and three and four, they're teaching them how to do it. And that's the heart you want to have. You really want to have that towards the other singers. All the singers must help lead by singing the choruses together boldly. There's two times all the singers need to be singing specifically. I mean, they need to be singing the whole time, but especially during spontaneous singing and choruses. You don't, like, if you need to take a water break, that's not the time really to take a water break. You know, you want to be singing strongly so that we can be leading the room. Because again, you know, poor grandma out there, she doesn't have a very good voice, you know, or she doesn't think she has a good voice anyway. The Lord loves it, actually. But she's ashamed to sing unless everybody on the platform is singing and she can't hear herself, okay? So there you go. So we want to sing it boldly. Continuing on spontaneous choruses, we want our choruses to be easy, okay? We want them to be easy enough that ungifted singers can sing along. So we don't want them to be some new complex, you know, rhythmic pattern that nobody can sing, you know. We want them to be really, really simple, actually. And that's hard for really gifted singers, you know. They just want to go for it, you know. Are people that just like things hard, like me, you know. I like things complex. So I like to just kind of throw some really crazy thing out there. No, we want them to be really simple. We want them to be really simple so that the people in the congregation, again, can sing with us. At the end of your chorus, you sing a name of God. Again, it's another communication tool so that all the singers stop at one time. Oh, my goodness. I was teaching the teenagers this stuff. I was teaching them harp and bowl. I was one of their worship leaders for our ATC team. We have teenagers that come in for 3 weeks. And for the last week, we teach them how to do harp and bowl. We actually just release them in the prayer room. We have a training prayer room now, the Justice Prayer Room. We just let them go for it and just do this stuff that we're talking about here. But one of the singers was telling me about how she always wondered how all the singers stopped singing the chorus at the exact same time. She thought they just were moved by the Holy Spirit all at the same time. She thought we were like really, you know, high in the spirit, so high that we could sense when one another wanted to end the chorus. So, but you know, she later found out that it was by the name of God that signified ending the chorus, and that was how we all stopped together. And she was like, oh, I'm really disappointed. But this, again, this is another communication tool. You don't have to sense where, you know, that the chorus leader wants to end it. The chorus leader simply communicates that to the other singers by saying, oh God, or oh Jesus, or oh Emmanuel, or oh Lamb of God, or any name of God, really. Any name of God you want, you can get creative with that. We have one singer on the night watch. You'd never know what she's going to say. It's really fun. Amen. I think, yep, that's it. That is it. Actually, yeah, thanks. Amen. So, guess what? We're going to do it. I'm so excited. So, we're going to do it. And, hey, I want to say something very clearly to begin this here. I'm not going to get mad if someone does it wrong, okay? I'm not at all. If you don't isolate the phrase right, okay, I'm not going to get mad because, again, I want to emphasize this so much. What I said last night is the most important thing. What I said tonight is way secondary, way secondary. The heart is the most important thing. If you get a heart in life, oh my goodness, you can sustain prayer. This is a communication tool to make it easy and to be able to do it 24/7 or long term, nightly. Like they're trying to do it here nightly. I really recommend to them that they try to instill these principles because it will help them to be able to do it for years to come nightly. You know, okay. So anyway, don't worry if you mess up. But oh, I forgot to do this. So, who is musicians and singers? Because we want to just get you sitting in a specific place. Okay, why? Let's see. Yeah, just you see these front rows here. If you're a musician or a singer, come up here to the front row. And I